Monday, February 5th, 2024, Board of Equalization at 2:45, followed by the Board of Commissioners at 3 p.m.
Yep, let's go ahead and get started.
It's going to get a lot of rain in the summer.
All right, Scott.
Okay, here we go. Let's. We're going to call the Board of Equalization to order. If everybody stand and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the open meeting that I just posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available to review for all citizens and attendants. Will you call roll, please, Cherie?
Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Here.
Troy?
Here.
Marty?
Yep.
Do you just want to obviously just go on without excusing Brian? I don't know either. I haven't heard, so.
He probably won't be here for this.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion to excuse Brian from the meeting here.
I'll second.
Will you call roll, please, on the absence, please?
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, number one on the consent agenda items, we got the approval of the previous minutes from January 24th, 2024, and then we have the approval for the minutes of the emergency meeting that was held on January 24th, 2024.
So moved on the consent agenda.
Okay, we got Bob.
Second.
And we got Troy. Will you call roll, please, on the consent agenda?
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, new business. We have formality, it looks like. I'm going to open up for a hearing for the Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership. The application for exemption for motor vehicle taxes that are qualifying for a nonprofit organization, that they have a 2016 Dodge Caravan, the VIN ending in 108050. And they also have another 2016 Dodge Caravan that is ending in VIN ending in 102859. Okay, the vehicles are used by the staff to attend meetings, programs, transportation, staff, supplies. So anyways, with that said, I will close the hearing and the board's recommendation. And Don, of course, it's the same formality.
Yeah. On
yep. So the hearing is closed. I'll just need a motion to approve the two vehicles for the Nebraska Community Action Partnership.
So moved to approve.
Okay, we got a motion by Bob.
Second.
And a second by Troy on that hearing. Call roll, please.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, B, we have, I'm going to open up a hearing as well for Heartland Counseling, the application exemption for a motor vehicle, also a nonprofit organization. It's a 2012 Dodge Grand SXT, and the VIN number is ending in 190646. Don, of course, same formality, same thing. Okay, with that there, I will close the hearing, and I'll need a motion for the Heartland Counseling Services for their exemption on their 2012 Dodge Grand SXT.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, we got a motion by Bob and a second by Marty. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay, Christy is not here today, so we must not have any type of tax corrections. So we will move on to three, mail emergency business. Anything, Cherie? No? Public comment. Anybody from the public would like to speak up on anything that was discussed during the Board of Equalization? Okay, if not, we are adjourned, and I don't have the time.
2:50.
We are adjourned. Do we need a motion to adjourn?
I will.
Okay.
Just for Brian's sake.
Okay, we got a motion by Bob to adjourn, so we are adjourned.
So our regular meeting is scheduled to start at 3, so we'll go ahead and get started. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance to the county boardroom. It's available to review for all citizens in attendance. Do you want to take roll?
Sure will. Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Present.
Bob?
Here.
Troy?
Here.
All right. We'll go ahead and start with public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear comment on any item that's not on the agenda today. We have the right to limit the time of the comment. So does anybody want to talk about anything that's not on our agenda today? All right, we'll go down to number two, consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from January 22nd of 2024. Approval of payroll claims January 21st through February 3rd. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. Approval of the monthly accounts payable claims. And then approval of the quarterly veteran service officer report. I came in earlier and was able to go through payroll and accounts payable. Everything appears to be in order. I did have a meeting last Wednesday night with the Veteran Service Officer and the Veteran Oversight Board, at which time he ran through his quarterly report. Everything seems to be in good standing there. It's his first quarterly report, very up to date, very good on the computer, able to get into some things that we couldn't previously, so he's able to speed up some of the benefits that the veterans are getting. So he's doing a great job.
It's amazing what the younger generation has over the older generation, right?
Yeah.
But I'll make if you're done with that, Chair, I'll make a motion on the consent agenda items A to approve A through E.
Second. Beat you to it. Sorry.
All right. Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. All right, new business A. We have Rob Rapp, Don Faber, and Matt Wallenwaber. Is that right pronunciation there?
Wallenwaber.
Yeah, that's what he said. they're here to talk to us about our group health plan 23-24, kind of a reflection back on the previous year and what we can look forward to in the next year. So without any more, I'll let you guys get to your business.
Well, thank you for your time. It is our annual renewal for the March 1 effective date. Again, some of you have been here on the board for a while, or some of you are newer. In some of the years, we've had some not so good news. This year, we have some more pleasant news. So we're excited to share that with you. Again, myself, Robert Rapp, I've been fortunate enough, along with my father, since 2005, 2006, to be involved with the group health insurance benefits. My cohort with Don Faber and our from Mid-American, who does all the claims work, from Matt Willenwaber. So I will turn it over to Don. He's got a little more information, and then Matt will go through his presentation.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity, and we always appreciate the business. We went out to all of the carriers that we could for stop loss. We also went out to all of the major carriers for fully insured. We wanted to make sure that we have given every opportunity in doing our due diligence to get you the best quotes that we can. Unfortunately, again, all of the fully insured carriers have turned us down. And basically, we gave them all the same information, and it was claims related. So just wanted to let you know that we did do that, and we did not get any response back.
Not surprised, right?
No, I'm not surprised, no. But Matt has some good news.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Robert passed out a folder, and there's three stapled sections of information in there. Two of them are report-based. One is for the current year to date through January, and the other one is the prior year. And then I think a lot of you have gravitated to the page that has some highlights on it, which is actually the proposal piece. So I'm going to touch on a couple things first. As Don mentioned, we scoured the reinsurance market. We actually went out to about 25 different companies. We got 11 immediate declines for a variety of reasons, some historical claim history, some of the things you're familiar with, we've talked about before. We've got 4 no quotes or pended, which we obviously won't be seeing any of those. We got 8 offers that were not competitive or higher than some of the other ones out there. And then we are actually presenting 2 different offers that we solicited and secured. And then there's one other piece of information on the presentation worksheet as directed by you all as the county to include in the presentation. With that, I want you to guide me a little bit. The majority of you have seen me present before. You may be familiar with most of the information. We use the same format we've used in the past, et cetera. You are having a better claim year as it relates from a reinsurance perspective this year, and that's going to be reflected in the proposal. Your overall claim experience is running a little bit higher than it was previously based on some of the assessments with liabilities and the structure of the plan, et cetera. But overall, plan performing better, and we have less large claims than we've had in the past, and the severity of those claims, with the exception of one particular situation, is also reduced compared to the way it has been in the past. As a point of reference on that, based on the strategies utilized last year as a regard to laser assessments, etc., we're saving overall the plan about $310,000, and I'll allude to that here in a minute. So with that, direct me. I can dive into some highlights on the claim reports, and I can dive right into the proposal worksheet.
I question. So yeah. Lasers. So you can have a policy going forward where you could work your way out of lasers or don't have lasers, or just
yep.
Talk about that a little bit. Just enlighten me on how that works.
That's accurate. I can talk about that, or I can incorporate it into the review because we actually have offers with those on them.
Okay.
If you like,
fine.
If we can do that,
Whatever.
Let's just dive in right here, okay?
And if that doesn't clear it up, you can always ask additional questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So, referring to this page, to highlights, we'll play some healthcare bingo. My best attempt at lightening the mood. We have letters across the top, numbers down the side. The descriptions on the left-hand side are similar to what we have reviewed and utilized in the past. The offers as we go across in column C, you'll see on lines 21 through 24, are the enrollment counts that we use for the renewal processing. We then use a stagnant enroll to capture our annualized and our monthly calculations for the proposal worksheet. Column H is where you are today. That's your current contract and policy provisions. Column I is an apples-to-apples renewal from the incumbent stop-loss carrier. Column J is an alternative. And to Troy's point, line 21, I'm going to talk about that NNL stands for no new laser provision. I think that's what you're alluding to, and I'll give you some more details of that. Column M and N are an alternative reinsurance carrier, Symetra in this case, that offered some competitive numbers as we went through the negotiation process. And then at your request, we did some work with another entity. Out in column O is an alternative option. And I'll let Don and Robert allude to that a little bit more, but we wanted to have the numbers on there so you could see those for comparative purposes. Coming down, the descriptions on the left, rows 11 through 20, you see the specific contract. We use an 1218. The coverage is medical and RX. The attachment is $60,000. So I'm on column H, line 13. The county and its self-funded program takes the first $60,000 of claim liability on every covered participant, employee, spouse, and dependent children. For that, And then anything above that amount, up to an unlimited amount under the Affordable Care Act, is then paid for by your reinsurance carrier. And that's the catastrophic risk protection that we talk about. There's an associated premium that you pay to have that coverage and that protection. Line 14, aggregating specific, is a risk management tool that we have utilized for many years. The county assumes an additional $30,000 of risk on the group in whole above the $60,000 layer we just mentioned, and you get a dollar for dollar premium reduction by assuming that additional variable risk under your self-funded plan. The next three line items are laser is the term. That's a separate specific deductible allocated to a known risk on your program. Please keep in mind this is just a financial attribute of your reinsurance program. The individuals that are part of that mechanism have all of the same benefits, rights, and privileges as every other employee on the plan, and they're treated identically the same. You can see the corresponding laser assessments. Each one of those is allocated with the reduction of the $60,000 because you already are assuming that liability is the county, and we have a net total laser liability of $680,000 on your current program. So in addition to all of the other contracted costs, you have taken that liability as a risk strategy concept, and that's to the point I made a little bit earlier. Your total liability of 680 on line 19, to date through January, you've paid out $370,000 of that liability, creating basically a self-funded savings by utilizing that strategy of $310,000. The underwriting assessment for your proposal is complete, meaning all the information has been reviewed. These rates are firm and final. Dropping down into the next section, we get now into the actual rates and the premiums. Lines 22 and 23 are the single and family allocations. If you drop down to line 26 for me, we take those single and family premium allocations, we multiply them directly by the enrollment counts, and we subsequently analyze them and calculate the total for an annual basis. As Don and Robert both mentioned, in the 4 years or so that we've been on the account, and they spoke historically, there's not been many years when we've been able to come to the table on line 26 and offer you an apples-to-apples premium reduction on your program. You'll see there we're going from a $364,000 premium down to a $330,000 specific premium. That is a direct result of kind of the positive claim history that's moving forward on your account. Like I said, the number of large claimants has dropped about in half, and the severity of the majority of those has also diminished. Remember, this premium is for future unknown risk, right? So that's a good thing. I'm going to go back to Troy's point. Right here, I want to make a distinction between column I and column J. It works the same with the other carrier options. Line 21, column J, the acronym there, NNL, stands for no new laser, and that is at renewal time, so like a year from now. In addition to that, setting the no new laser provision, there would also be a maximum premium increase of, in this case, 49%. See the other two corresponding numbers. Now, for that, there's a value proposition. The carrier says, we'll assume that risk, looking a year in advance, not offer any lasers, and we'll do it for, let's say, 50% on $360,000, so you're talking $182,000 of premium. Where's the catch? Not so much a catch as that value proposition. Line 26, the difference between column I and column J is the increased premium the carrier would require to put that program in place, $35,000. Understanding a year from now, no new lasers, the premium could go up as high as $182,000. The other component to think about. There's a little bit of an exponential effect when you do this because you are immediately increasing the premium by $35,000. Any future increases will also be on that additional $35,000. So exponential compounding, I guess, would be one way to look at that. Okay, so where this is, you know, a discussion to potentially have, but those are the nuances. One piece of the puzzle, and part of, I think, what Robert and Don will allude to, is that you have had lasers in the past, and you've had experience with them. And to date, all of the time that we've been on your account and in talking with them historically, the laser assessment and strategy has come out in the county's favor historically. Will it continue as such? May not. None of us hold a crystal ball. But to my point, this year, we took a $680,000 risk. We paid $370,000, saved $310,000. The alternative is the carrier would request probably a dollar for dollar or at least 85-90% of that laser assessment in premium. Premium you pay out the door, it's gone for sure. In this situation where the county saved $310,000, the carrier would be saving $310,000. So that's kind of the contextual proposition between those two strategies and whether you would entertain doing that going forward now, you know, or continue to do what you currently do. Does that make sense? Did
yep.
I answer your
question? No, I get it. Thank you.
Yep.
Yep.
Thanks for letting me intertwine it with the proposal options. Okay, line 26, that's your catastrophic risk protection, right? The Affordable Care Act. You got to pay out as a plan up to an unlimited amount, million, 5 million, 10 million, whatever that may be. That $330,000 of premium, or $365,000, whatever number you choose, that's what pays for that. In addition, you have utilization coverage that you purchase, or aggregate premium, line 29. What does that do? That protects you from utilization and overall aggregate exposure on all the claims under $60,000. You are covering somewhere around, just a second, I'll take a peek and give you a ballpark, about 120 employees or so, excuse me, 120 total people, employees, spouses, dependents. And I did some quick math, 120 or 125, I think I used the number, took it times $60,000, okay, because you have that liability on every person, it's around $7.5 million is the theoretical liability. The county cannot absorb that or afford that, so you purchase aggregate risk protection. That aggregate premium on line 32, in columns H, I, J, et cetera, line 32, right now you're paying $17,000 in premium. We've had the opportunity to get a reduction in that. Your aggregate claims have been trending down. 3 years ago, they were 92%. A year ago, they were about 82%. This year, they're about 83%. So we've had a good trend there, and we've been able to secure a reduction in that premium. Granted, it's not significant dollars, but what are you paying for that $17,000 or now $12,000 or $15,000? Come down to line 63 for me. H63 and the corresponding renewal numbers. If you recall, I said your liability, your total risk, $7.5 million. The carrier for $12,000 to $17,000 of premium is capping that liability at that number on line 63. Remember, critical, the reason you self-fund your program, that's a variable number. Any dollar that you do not spend at or above that level is the county's to keep. And historically, you've spent anywhere from 80 to 90% of that number, so you've been retaining those dollars. Back to Don's point, that's a losing proposition for fully insured carriers because they have loss ratios that are significantly different to that and their profitability and all of their reserves and those mechanisms. And that's part of the reason why they typically decline to quote on your program and you directly benefit from having a self-insured plan. Next phase, line 42 through 46, is the administration fees of the program. You can see the dollars are significantly less. They represent a much smaller percentage. They include Mid-American Benefits, TPA administration fees. There's PPO, Preferred Provider Organization access fee, utilization review and case management fees, broker fees, all of the parts that fit together to do the administration of the program. About a 3% increase there, just under that. Inflationary, if you will. Drop down to line 55. We add all those fixed cost components together. Again, the line shares that catastrophic risk premium, the utilization risk premium, the administration, and again, a total net decrease offer on your renewal for fixed costs. So literally, the check that you write each month to pay those fixed costs, in a theoretical world where there's no claims, that number is going to go down by about $37,000. Next section. After that line, it's all variable, meaning if you have claims, you'll pay associated cost with caps. If you don't have claims, you're saving that money by being self-funded. Again, we drop down to the aggregate. We talked about that number on line 63. That's from column H to column I. On line 63, the 1,112 to the 1,223 is about just short of a 10% increase. That's literally a medical inflationary increase on claims, non-catastrophic claims. $100 today, it's $110 tomorrow, et cetera. Add all that together to get you basically your worst case scenario, or your all-in liability for the county on two phases. A contracted basis is the term I like to use, and then we build in the lasers. On line 70, we've added all the numbers above together. Your contracted liability for this plan year was at $1,538,000. It's going up to $1,611,000. That's 4.7% total all-in rate increase. Understanding you rarely hit that level. You've been at an 80-90% loss ratio. Another key element, line 73. This is a big dollar feature, but because we were able to get the ongoing risk are having better outcomes, less claims, et cetera, the ability to have those lasers actually removed, all three of them, to a resulting $680,000 change year over year in total max cost, all in, if you will. The proverbial stuff hits the fan. That's line 73. I'm going to pause. That was, what do they have, a rapid fire round? That's what it was. And again, you know, having the opportunity to share some numbers with you that are more favorable than what we've got to discuss over the years is good. I'm excited about that for you.
Compared to the last several years, it's quite a different report than we've had.
Yeah. So the key thing then is there's no, the lasers are removed this year as compared to last year.
Yep.
And which is a good trend.
Yeah, and you've had lasers the last 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I mean, yeah, I mean, like Matt was talking about, they're completely removed. Yeah.
And that's on your known risk component. I always might like to separate them because they're not directly related to your premium reduction. Your premium reduction is really about what the carrier is looking at on your unknown risk going forward. And the fact that, as like this year, you only, aside from the lasers, you only had three people that approached your $60,000 level. A year ago, you had twice that many. And the amount, the size of those claims in individuality have also been historically higher than what we were. So that's a positive trend from a reinsurance perspective.
Move it on.
Well, I'm going to turn over to these guys because I think one of the things when meet with boards, and it's not very often, et cetera, is you're looking for guidance, right, and recommendations, if you will. So we have all discussed that. I'll turn it over to these guys as the consultative experts. in conjunction with our TPA pursuits, and you know, they can make a recommendation as such.
Well, I just wanted to go on record to say that we had several different carriers that weren't competitive. We had some that are competitive, and then just as of the last 48 hours, we have the incumbent became even more competitive. We gave everybody the same information. Okay, we don't disclose the proposal or the final proposal to anybody because we don't believe that that's an ethical situation. But we gave everybody the same. One of the things that impressed me is that you've had the same carrier for the past 12 years, and they've lost some money in those years. And they've also come back and said, well, we know we're not going to make it all back in 1 year. We'd like to stay with you. But that loyalty has, I think, some merit, and it really has a lot of more merit when it becomes the best proposal that there is.
Right. And so we would make the recommendation that we move forward with column I, the renewal for the plan year starting March 1st, again with pretty substantial savings in those fixed costs and obviously the reduction in the lasers.
Just a quick explanation on your feeling on the on J with the ability, yep, where we're not going to have possibly a laser, and how that looks at say over 3 years if we do have a laser to come on.
Let me address that. First of all, you've been very successful in every laser that you've had for ever since we've been working with it way back in 2006. The laser option, as you know, is simply you pay additional premium for this person based on medical history.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to do that, they're going to raise your rates for everybody. So it's a guaranteed versus a maybe. And we always like that because in most cases, as in your case, it didn't happen. Okay,
the worst case
for whatever situation. Right. So now you paid three something versus $560,000. So I think one of the big things is that when you take that no future lasers, again, as Matt says, we don't have a crystal ball, we don't know what's coming, but we do know that when you do choose a laser versus the increase in costs, that you've been very successful. And the big thing, again, is that increase in cost becomes the new base.
Right.
You know, when you get a raise, mm-hmm, and next year you get a raise on that raise, it compounds.
No, we don't.
Well, if you did.
And it can go up 49%. Say say we're going and then we get a laser.
This year, for example, on column J, you're going to pay another $35,000. And then that becomes the new base, and then they can raise it up 49%, up, you know,
above
another 50% of that. And you're better off to take historically and statistically, you're better off to take the laser.
Let's put this together. Just a couple of quick things, notes I had, guys. So the full single coverage that we have for our employees, just an individual,
right?
Is that in the industry or businesses, is that a norm that the employer pays all of that total premium for that employee?
I think we're mixing premium with what your liability is. Okay, basically your premium is in the toward the bottom, what your fixed cost or what's an associated premium would be. I think your question is $60,000 per individual a norm for a group your size, right?
I think I know where you're going.
Are you asking about employee contribution?
When you're talking about the small groups, it's a little bit different because you know you're less money to work with. But historically, a lot of them would pay all of it. That has started to move differently. As premiums have gone up, some employers are making their staff start pitching in for some of that, some of their contribution.
If I may, so we do a lot of county work. We do a lot of federal government, non-federal government, cities and state. And in your realm, there is a higher propensity for those organizations to pay a higher percentage of at least the single only premium versus maybe privately held business. However, I would tell you that as Robert alluded to, companies paying 100% of the employee-only part, so free to employees, if you will, those are few and far between from what we see. That change is taking place, the allocation and kind of the realization of a value proposition and the fact that there has been significant escalation in those premiums. So, you know, is there an average somewhere? I would say your type of organization, it's higher. You know, is it 100%? If you take averages, probably absolutely not. But is it, you know, 80 plus percent? Probably very well would be compared to, like I said, private industry that may be significantly less than that.
And then the other question is on the coverage. There, from year to year, there's no change in coverage.
Benefits. Right.
From year to year.
And that's where you're dealing with your different union negotiations and everything else.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No.
So there's no change.
This is
quoted.
It's apples to apples.
Yep, okay. Exactly right, Robert.
Unless we hear from you that you've changed plans or you've negotiated.
Yeah, you negotiate something different.
Then, yeah. Then basically keep the same.
And I know that has stair-stepped over the last, I think there's been some stair-stepping over the last 4 to 5 to maybe 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
But no, this is exactly where you were at. Benefits-wise.
Okay.
Benefits-wise is previous years.
Okay.
And on that same note, I would just add that if you are negotiating contracts and it's multi-year, it's always wise to put in some kind of an escalator because, as you see, that 10% medical trend, as Matt suggested, $100 bill that last year is $110 now. The carrier picks it up or you pick it up. But somebody has to pick it up.
Good questions.
So, Don, J is what you like?
We like I.
I?
Yeah, we don't like J because we don't want to see that. We don't want to see you pay all that big premium in there with a, again, that's a fixed increase versus a maybe.
Right.
And the maybes have been serving you pretty well on those lasers that you have never get those.
If your workforce, though, eventually, you know, like our workforce, I believe, is getting older.
Right.
That will have an effect on that, too, of course, too, won't it? I mean, just a gamble, you'd figure, regardless.
It's just a gamble. It's kind of like, and you don't need to belabor the point, but it's kind of like wellness programs. If you have a wellness program and your 35-year-olds participate, it's going to help you when they get to be 55-year-olds. But other than that, don't look for anything in the next 20 years.
Right. Point of reference? Right. This is nominal, but I think it's intriguing. Your average age went down about half a year.
It did.
Over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's an ebb and flow of retirement versus new or just those.
You're going to get that backfill with
again,
younger
that's not
staff.
Much, but we would intuitively think, hey, if we're seeing all of each other every year, then we're getting older. But
I know Scott's not getting older.
Yeah. But and we do look at that periodically, not to solely make this decision, but to see, because some groups have some significant demographics as it relates to age and what that movement is. But you actually had a slight decrease from last year to this year in the average age of your population. And that's actually on the back page of both of these reports on the Magellan RX. It talks about average age. Went from 50.3 to 49.8. Like I said, it's small. But
well, what do you guys think? Is there any additional discussion you'd like? Any questions you'd like answered?
One more point of reference, if I may. Part of through our negotiation process and with the carrier in the past, you may remember we needed to have a disclosure form signed. We've gotten that all waived this year, and there's no other requirements other than making a formal designation and acceptance. I would then take that back to the carrier, acknowledge that with them. I would sign a document that we get internally, and then that would move the process forward. There'd be a formal application and then the treaty that gets signed, but that usually comes, you know, 30 days or so after the decision has been made. But so today there's actually nothing required to be signed, just looking for a decision.
Okay.
Well, I would make a motion to go with our
recommendation
for column I for our insurance renewal process.
I'll second it. just saying, you guys can go on. These people have things to do. I like listening to you, but I'm tired. I'm exhausted now. So I got to regroup. Okay, I got to regroup now.
You're welcome. Yeah. It's on me, right? Thank you very much.
No, we appreciate everything you guys do. Don, Rob.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I know. Sheree, we'll be in touch.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Appreciate your business.
Thank you.
Hey, Don, it's always
nice to see you. Scott forgot you, Matt, but thank you also.
No, hold on. I wasn't done. I said, Don, it's always nice to have seen you. You never age, and I told you that every time I see you.
Appreciate
you look
good.
Rap's looking old. Matt, you look great. Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
See you later. He told me I never age, okay, but he does.
Are you thank gonna, you. Well, before we go, are you going to vote?
Yes, I think we are.
No, before we go.
But you guys go out. You guys go ahead and leave. You'll find out in less than a minute. All right.
Well, we'll read in the newspaper.
Yeah, right.
Michael will have the newspaper.
All right, see you.
We'll
thanks.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank
see you later.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to B, Board to Approve Planning and Zoning Membership Appointments. Appointment to following geographic areas. We have Hubbard, the Village of Emerson, Rural Jackson, for terms 24 through 27.
Okay, it looks like we have the three, right, Chair?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We have Scott Bosquet in Hubbard there. We have Tim Decker, Jackson, and Richard McCabe, Emerson.
Okay, those three appointments between Scott Bosquet, Tim Decker, and Richard McCabe, I will make a motion to from February of 2024 to February 2027 of those three applicants to fulfill the areas for the planning and zoning.
Second.
Is that okay? Is that what I said?
You bet.
Okay.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
All right, then we have the board to approve the following appointments to serve on the Veterans Oversight Committee. It would be Dale Davis, who would be replacing Larry Albright for a five-year term, and Jeffrey Finken, who would replace Mike Cheever for a five-year term. I see Larry Albright's here. Larry has served as our head of the Veterans Oversight Committee for the last number of years. Has done a great job for Dakota County and the veterans. So first, I'd just like to appreciate everything you've done for the last several years.
Thank you. The board's been very supportive, and I appreciated that, too. Jeff Finken was unable to make it today. He got called back to work.
Okay.
He worked at the courthouse in Sioux City. So
yep.
Couldn't be here. But just a comment on Jeff. Jeff retired from the Air National Guard, 185th, he had 32 years of service there. He had a tour in Iraq and a tour in Afghanistan. He served on the South Sioux City Board post on the district and in the county positions with the American Legion. And he's also a member of the VFW, and that's what he is stepping up to replace Mike on the VFW representative to the board. Dale Davis has 24 years in the Army, both active and guard and reserve. He's been the adjutant and the commander of Dakota City's post. He's replacing me as I go off the board. Brian has served in Korea and in Germany through his reserve duties. So I would recommend both of them to step up.
Well, we appreciate it, but we don't want to see you go, Larry.
Well, term limits come in.
He'll be around. He'll still be
You've done a great job. We do appreciate everything you've done.
Thank you.
It's always good seeing you.
If I could jump to your next item, Norm Breeze, who lives here in Dakota City, he's a member of the South Sioux Board and the VFW. He's been on the Oversight Committee for about a year, and we've talked, and I highly recommend him to take the job as the chairman of the oversight committee. So
I sat in on the last meeting with them, and everybody at the meeting agreed that he would do a great job at leading it. I will say that that's the only board that I sit on where I don't feel anywhere near qualified to be on that board. I'm the only person on that board that hasn't served, and I really appreciate everything that you guys have done.
We appreciate you guys' support.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for us?
Okay, so, yes. So what I'll do on C, the following, I'll make a motion to approve the following appointments of the VSO, the Oversight Committee, of the replacements that are listed on there. And then I'm sure we'll come to D and do that as well. But that's my motion on C.
Second.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And I'll make the motion on D as well for Norman Brees as chair of the Oversight Committee.
Perfect. Sounds good. Gentlemen, second. Thank you. I appreciate it. Sorry? You're a good man. Thank you.
All right. Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
E, approval, renewal of the Employee Assistance Program contact for service between Dakota County and Mercy One Occupational Health March 1 of 2020 through March 1, 2024, determine offering either three counseling sessions at $1.85 per employee per month or six sessions at $206 per employee per month. So it'd be about $15 a month to have that. Anybody that needs those services would have the ability to go with six meetings rather than three.
Okay. Obviously, I think that's worked out very well for, the program itself. So yeah. Basically, what's happening is the renewal is, okay, hold on a second. It's March 1st, 2023 to March 1st, 2024. And it just basically is talking about the difference in the sessions.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the 20 cents difference.
Okay.
The per employee between three meetings and six meetings.
Okay.
Supposed to be
24
to 25.
I was going to say, is the date wrong? Yeah, that's going to have me thrown off a little bit. Yeah, here, a little bit.
That should be.
Okay, so also what I'd like to, I brought this up earlier, and I don't remember how often we did it, if it was yearly, annually, but we'd have X amount of people that would come in, and Sri and I were talking about, and I think I brought it up, where they would, if you remember how they would come in and check your arteries and this and that and do the sonogram, I think that's important. And if we remember, God rest her soul, is you know, when
Phyllis
Obermeyer, you know, she was, you know, that bought her some time, you know. So I recommend, I would love to put that back on somewhere along the line to get that done, because, and I think we need to stress that to our people to get that done, because very, very, very important to know where you're at on a health standpoint. And like Sri made the point that maybe 8-10 people would sign up out of the 100, but it's, and you can't force them, I understand that, but to come in, and I don't know if they do the blood sugar, they've done some different programs where they did the blood sugar, where they would check that, and then they would do the sonograms and check your blood pressure on your legs, ankles, etc. So I think we need to get that set up as
nice. Yeah, I think we should look into it, see what it, and we'll bring it to another next meeting here.
Yeah, I think it's a good program too.
I think it's part of this. We just got to initiate and get it set up. It's part
okay.
of this.
Okay.
Okay. So on the E, I will make the approval of I'll make a motion to approve the EAP program from March 1st, 2024. To March 1st of 2025, and with the adjustments of the dollar amounts for the counseling sessions.
I'll second that.
Six sessions.
And let's for six. Sure look into that.
The
what's
six,
that?
Three or six?
Six. To the six meeting.
Six. I can't
was,
hear.
Was your three motion to six. Do it for the six, the additional 20 cents?
Yes. Okay. Vietnam got me good in my right ear. Can't hear very well.
Do we have a second?
I did.
Sucker. Thank you.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
And we will try to get something set up on that and encourage our employees to do it. Like I said, it takes 15 minutes of their time to stop in here and to get checked out.
Mm.
And I think the 12 years I've been around, we started way back when, and I did it back then when I was a little younger, and I still would encourage to do it. So.
All right. Don Buskay, treasurer, requesting board approval.
Hey, Don Buskay, how's it going?
To move $1.12 from fund 6026 boat sales tax to the general fund. The error was made by the Department of Revenue by processing a prior return submitted twice, resulting in an excess funds in fund 6026.
Pretty self-explanatory.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
So moved. $1.12. Second that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to leapfrog Jolene's highway report before we do the review of the Olson Associates feasibility study. That way, if she needs to get back or do something, she can.
You.
You betcha.
I used to walk up that far. So, let me see. We had 9 hours of overtime. We had 304.5 hours on snow removal. We did haul 30 tons for three-quarter clean. We kind of had a bad spot. And we hauled 4 loads of gravel into the yard. We're trying to work on our gravel agreements for the year, and we're trying to find some products we like and companies that are willing to allow us to get gravel and kind of struggle. Yes.
Okay.
Do we know the final numbers yet, Jolene, on outside source, meaning work, people that helped us do the snow removal?
Do we know the numbers?
Yes.
The bills that we got.
Yeah.
Okay. this is the deal. I want this public because I know it's going to be a big expense.
Right.
And it is what it is. Okay. And I know there's going to be no aid. This is going to come from the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To be able to, what it took to get the roads clear. So.
So this is going to be rough because I saw the bills last week and I haven't looked at them. But one was just under $54,000 and one was about
$13,500. Holy shit. $67,500. It's a lot of money. Yeah. Okay.
You're kind of left with no choice.
Yeah, there really.
I mean, there was no choice. We had no options. I get that. I understand that, and I know that it is what it is, and we had to do what we had to do. But I just, the main thing is, you know, we haven't had it for many years. Unfortunately, you know, that kind of money, you know, you don't really so-called budget it, okay, but it happens, and I'd be surprised, and I don't know if anything can happen now that the governor didn't do anything, but once these numbers all come in across the state, can they change something in that or not, as far as for some
He was talking about declaring the emergency, and it sat on his desk, so I don't think
the problem. Okay, I just didn't know if the counties start whining and bitching that, hey, listen, we can't absorb this cost, you know, is there anything?
Might be something to ask Deanna.
You know, that's all I was getting at, you know.
Lance, have any of the roads started firming up enough to where a guy can start working on them?
My guys were out today doing some in the morning.
Okay.
It was still a little firm outside. So okay. They're getting there.
Okay.
The shoulders are very soft yet, but the centers are hard, so they're pulling some things in already.
Okay.
The only thing I can say is just hang on, because I have a feeling it's going to be, you know, with no frost in the ground after that snow, that blanket and everything, and now it's just all going in the ground and the mountain, and it'll be an interesting spring, put it that way.
Well, we're not used to these temperatures and this much snow on the ground.
Yeah.
So. Lance and I did meet with civil engineers last week. They want to come to the next board meeting to discuss a proposal to start moving forward with some preliminary plans for what they want.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hey, I started in on that, but next time you guys meet up, let me know. I know I'm not a part, if that's okay, the road department. I'd like to be a part of it, just so I know. Okay.
Yeah, I asked them if they wanted to.
If you guys don't mind.
No.
Bring commissioners on it the other day, and they just kind of wanted to drill me and Lance for some ideas and opinions before we started kind of going outside the box a little bit. So I have a feeling after the next meeting, we'll have some more formal meetings.
Okay.
Hi, Dick McNair called and said thanks a lot for the snow removal. He said you guys did a great job.
We'll pass that on to the guys.
All right.
They had a couple hard weeks.
Didn't they ever.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right, we'll go back up to G, Board to Review and Discuss Olson & Associates Feasibility Study, Crystal Lake Water Reclamation, and look at a potential plan of action.
Matthew?
All right.
All right.
Take it away.
Matthew Smith, I work with Olson. Thanks for letting me come in front of the board. So this project, Walt, came into my office probably a little over a year and a half ago. So what he lives on Crystal Lake, and that just with the dry conditions where all the lake, Crystal Cove in South Sioux City, that's kind of that old riverbed that connects the lake and Crystal Cove. And so he found a project, Browns Lake in Woodbury County. What they do is they reclaim cooling water and charge their lake. So their lake is full. They can do recreational activities. They're not worried about the dry weather. And we, with Walt's research, we found out Tyson Empirical, some of the industries are using kind of the same thing as they were doing over there and pumping millions of gallons into the river. And essentially what it is the cooling water is what we're looking to reclaim. Mm-hmm. So for those unfamiliar with it, it's, they have lots of machinery. So what they do is they're pumping water from their wells, running it over the equipment, and then cooling their equipment and just pumping it into the river.
Millions of gallons a day?
Millions, yeah.
Non-stop.
5 million gallons a day going into the river.
That's incredible.
But we kind of had some preliminary. Everything we've done up to this point is very high level. And everybody we talked to is reclaiming this water. I mean, you're pumping 5 million gallons a day. If we could somehow capture that and put that into kind of these lakes that are drying up, or so we don't have to worry about some of the water levels dropping. So we've talked to, preliminary looked at some of the effluent stuff. So what happens when it goes through all that, it becomes very hard as it goes through all the machinery, a lot of the water evaporates and it just gets very concentrated. So it's a different ballgame when you pump it into a river that's flowing a lot of water versus pumping into a lake that's sitting there. So we looked at that preliminarily. We don't know for sure. Again, it's going to take a lot more involvement. So that's what this would kind of look at too. But does that need to be treated? Can we just kind of somehow filter it a little bit? Or what needs to happen there? Also, once you get into this, there's a lot of regulatory kind of going on. You have the state highways kind of in there, so you're working with NDOT, NDEE, with quality of water, NRD, and things like that. So you're also dealing with the Corps.
A lot of entities.
Yes, a lot of entities. So a lot of permitting, a lot of hoops you got to jump through and things like that. So again, we've looked at this very high level, and what this is going to do is the feasibility study. So it's really digging into the data, meeting with all these entities, figuring what the hoops are, figuring out what the cost is, seeing what type sort of funding options there are. A lot of these entities we've talked to said, hey, we're really interested in this, we just need a little more info. It can't just be a good idea. It has to be something that's looked into and possible. So once we kind of dig into that, we'll know what kind of funding options are available and things like that. And again, we don't know if we'll turn over a rock and something will happen and be like, oh, that it's going to be impossible, or if we will talk to a couple entities and they're like, this is great, we can do this, this, and this, and it'll be a quick process. It's just the unknowns. So that's why the proposal we put in there is $175,000, time and material not to exceed. So what that is, we're just going to charge out an hourly rate. The hours we put to it is the hours that will be used. And again, if that only takes half the time to do it, that's what we'll do. This is kind of worst case scenario is what, again, there's just so many unknowns that we don't know what kind of path we'll go down to or anything like that. So Essentially, what this is doing is just looking into it with detail. So at the end, you'll get a packet that says what the project would cost, what potential funding sources there are, and what permitting and different things okay. you need to go through. So again, I don't know, Walt, was there anything else you wanted to?
I got a question for you.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. As an engineer, correct?
Yep.
Okay. As you look at this, and Browns Lake, obviously, is a whole different
yep.
scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it works well for them. But for what you, all the entities scares me when you start talking about these people.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, you could get, if there were six different entities involved, you could get five of them that were all good and one that's not. And then it's a no-go.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, so by you, I know the crystal ball things come up a lot today here in this room. Mm-hmm. But I know you don't have a crystal ball, but it just sounds like to me, and don't get me wrong, great idea, mm-hmm. you know, if it could work out. But do you, as an engineer, do you foresee something like this actually, you know, moving forward, being possible?
It is 100% possible. It's just, is the cost too much? Because the entities are going to say you have to do this, 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 and this, but you can do it. So is this,
where does it stop at? Where does the checkbook quit, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's what we need to look into is what are those hoops? What are the requirements that all these entities are going to have with this project? And then that's going to be able to have us put a dollar figure to it. Because right now, it's just so hard to put even a preliminary dollar figure to it, because maybe the entities will allow you just to turn the pipe over from the river to the lake, and that's all you need to do. I mean, that's...
So what will it do, and I'm by far, and I know you got Kevin and you got Larry, and they, you know, Marty's, you know, everybody has a little body of water between here and there.
Mm-hmm.
What will it do to them? Is it gonna benefit these folks? Are these folks here to accept it, want to move on? Are they against it? Are they opposed? Are they, you know, that's I'm trying to figure out as I look.
We'll
around
find that out here in just a little bit.
I know we will, but I'm just trying to wrap my head around everything of what's going on here right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. So that's going to be part of the study too, because right now there's two major, what I'll call major bodies of water, Crystal Cove and Crystal Lake. In between there's private properties, so you can't just flood everybody out
right.
potentially. So you got to look at different scenario. Do you pipe this extra water just to those two and not worry about anybody in between? Is everybody in between on board and want to get this to a certain wetland area? And if that's the case, then we'll look at kind of all that. That's part of this too. Is I've just had some preliminary conversations with Walt. He's talked to a couple people, but we haven't. This is the first time it's gone public from what I know. So,
what does Woodbury do? What are they using?
They're doing the same thing. It's Mid America's energy plan.
Mid America.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. So. Okay.
To Browns Lake.
Yep.
And that thing is like literally a rock throw away.
Yeah, it's right across the river. So
I mean, yeah.
And the same thing, no cooling.
Yep, cooling water. It's but minimal. So these are food processing plants. So it's they're cooling different equipment. But yeah, it's the
right. I wonder if they had to deal with the hardness of the water with the reduction of water.
I would imagine.
Okay,
Hard to tell. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing they have a similar type of water pumping from the ground. But
is there fish in Browns Lake?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, a few decades ago, I'd go out there and it was low, 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 and then all of a sudden, it's recreational again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was so low. What's yeah.
How long have they been doing that? Do you know? Anybody know?
Yeah, I think last April was when they opened up.
They started.
It's fairly recent. Last
year. Yeah,
fairly
so.
New. Yeah. Fairly new.
Yeah. Just for a reference point, the little pond that's on my place, when it was made, it was 21 foot deep, and today it's about 6 foot deep.
Mm-hmm.
So the river is really, you know, scoured down during the flood years, and it's been some dry years. So there's really, and just for everybody's information going forward, having a piece of property in this area, I'll be in the meetings, but I won't have a vote in it when anything happens with regard to this.
One of the things we talked about before, you mentioned a huge cost.
Yep.
For land?
But yeah, potentially. I mean, so whenever you do a project, like if you do a dam project or anything, you're talking about land purchase and things like that. And again, there's land property owners between those two areas. And again, if you're just looking at the lakes, it's a different project than looking at the whole thing.
And if you're looking at just the lakes, you're looking at a lot of pipelines.
Exactly, yep. You're looking at a different type of pumps and pipes and things like that. So, yeah, it's just really hard to throw a cost at it. I want to throw something out there. But
I know.
It's just...
Yeah, and we're not... I don't think anybody's to that point yet. I mean, I don't think anybody's stepping forward saying...
But you also mentioned before that if we would do the sign on
for the study.
Feasibility study, you know, we might know 30% into it. By 30% into it, that it's not going to fly.
Yeah, so yeah, we might come
so it's
down.
It's not that, you know, we're not on board for the whole cost.
Yeah. So yeah, if we do like at the 30% level, we're saying this again, it's a $1 billion project, and everybody's like, well, nope, cut the let's stop at 30. We don't have to finish the feasibility study, or we could get to the 20 and it's only a $1 million project. It's like, okay, that's a little manageable if we can kind of work with other entities and things like that. Then we can kind of keep
I want to get into your checkbook. $1 million manageable.
with partnerships.
With partners.
Partnerships and funding.
Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying. So, I understand. Okay.
And the lake would need dredged out to a bunch, wouldn't it?
I don't think it probably would. I mean, I think they were talking about backfilling it. I don't know if there's dredging involved in that. Maybe there would be, but...
How long have you been with Olson? Are you aware of when the discussion was to dredge Crystal Lake, and then I think the Corps shot that down because of any increased water level would bring geese, more geese, birds, etc., and anything to do with airport, airplanes. So that got shot down early on. In that,
was that between like kind of the old riverbed, or was that
They were looking at dredging the whole area out from behind the old gateway, around to the Pink Elephant.
Yeah, so that I wasn't around at that time, but
no, neither of those places are there anymore.
So that project was that project was essentially from the highway going north to kind of the Crystal Cove area. They were looking at dredging that, making it that Gateway Lake a little bigger and some wetland areas. That was, I think, in about 2005 or 2006. And that, I was told, was because of the airport to the south. And that was right when I was told that was close to when the Hudson or...
Yeah, landed.
So I think it was very fresh and it was very high alert type of thing. I've talked with our airport team preliminarily, and they said that there is no regulation in place that would prevent that, but that's not saying an airport wouldn't request that and highly advise against it. So and again, that's about as far as we haven't contacted any airports or anything like that.
Your feasibility study or your proposal, how long is that good for? I mean, if I don't think we're going to get an answer today on it, but you know, if it was a month, I mean, is that still...
30 to 60 days is usually what the proposal is good for. So, yeah, if it gets...
Because there's some legitimate questions, like, you know, you're talking about, Scott, different agencies, et cetera, and the one that jumps right out is the Corps.
And
among others, probably, but...
To me, I'll just give you an example. When you have this many different entities involved, it could come together quick, okay? I just remember, I'm just going to use this for an example, X amount of years ago, 8-10 years ago, M Avenue. You know, we had all these entities involved trying to pave that to Cramper Lake. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of round table discussions, and it seemed like every entity had monies already accounted for 2 years before they could even do anything or even think about it. You know, so they set their money aside way ahead of time, is what they do with different projects.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. Yeah, and the one thing I'll say is, meanwhile, I've talked to a couple people, and everybody says, this is great. It's worth looking into.
They will.
I mean,
absolutely.
Pumping, but it's just, how do we take that next step? Because this isn't a small dollar amount either to do a feasibility study.
Right.
So the question is, again, is it who kind of leads the charge for that next step if we do take that next step?
And also, you know, you think you're putting 5 million gallons in there and you're filling that lake up. Well, you're also filling up miles around there. That water percolates underneath that ground and flows from north of Jackson through Dakota City here underneath us. So there's just a lot of stuff.
For sure. Yeah. Nope. Groundwater. There's rivers underneath us. I mean, that's what the aquifer is. So.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's, again, this right now we're just so high level. Yeah. It's a big undertaking to kind of look into it. But.
Well, I appreciate that information, and we'll get together in the next 30, 60 days to see if we want to go forward with the feasibility study.
Okay. I didn't know if you want.
There's a number of people, I think, that probably want to talk on this.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Yeah.
All right, Lou, do you want to go first? You had your hand up.
Mine's real short.
Okay.
Okay. My name is Lou Franco, and thanks for having me up here. But anyway, one of my question is when a company pumps this water out of the ground, does that affect the aquifer? No, because that's what they're depleting, basically.
The 5 million a day that are coming into their cooling station?
Right. So they're getting that somewhere, so it's the underground water.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think it would take, to get that replenished, you know, because they're just going to replace it. So, and then looking at it, I don't think that's something that would burden just the county, because that aquifer affects a large area. So it's beneficial to look at that, to replenish that aquifer.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, the groundwater would definitely work its way down to the aquifer, so I think there would be some benefit. I'm no expert on it. I have no idea what that would be, but it would have to make a difference at some point, I think.
Yeah. Now, in talking to Warren Johnston, God bless him, but anyway, he was telling me, because, you know, the county board was the sponsor to that Crystal Lake project.
When they just
started. And then they just created that Crystal Lake Committee, which I think was the veterans from on 19th Street.
Okay.
That was the committee, a group of people.
Uh-huh.
Warren Johnston was one, and then Chris Foss. Now, the way I understood what Warren said is that the Corps was going to give them $1 million to continue the dredging, but the county turned it down. So that's my understanding. I don't know that.
Well, it might have been a grant, like a match thing, and the county probably didn't have. If they did that,
well, I don't think that's what it was. I think it was the Corps. Because this is what Warren was telling me. I've had many conversations with Warren over this, because he was upset that did not happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure.
You know, because they spent a lot of time, and there was a lot of money involved, grant money, and then donations from different people and companies to
revitalize,
to progress,
that
to get it done. So he was pretty disappointed in it. But that's.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been we got to that point in the project, like this one, like we found out that, you know, we couldn't do it because the Corps said that we don't want you filling up this. Or, you know, making the
well, water. they actually had a dredge on site and dredged for a while.
They
so,
did.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what's happening, I don't hardly believe that they would say not to replenish the aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that wouldn't make sense. That would be important to replenish.
Well, we'll see it. We'll see in the next 10 years that recapturing water is going to become a huge thing in this country. They're going to, you know, recapturing that water is going to become very important.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you, Lou.
Thank you.
All right, well, we're going to limit to 5 minutes. The discussion, do you want to talk there?
Me?
Walt, come on up.
I'm glad she talked about our project. I'm Walt Behrman. I live on Crystal Lake. I grew up there. I know I skied probably 1,000 miles in that lake. But it was brought to my attention about the 5 million gallons with Larry Borgesius, and I thought to myself, my God, that's a lot of water. Have any of you guys really had a concept of that? There's 490,000 gallons in an Olympic swimming pool. Divide that into 5 million, you're talking about 10.2 amounts of swimming pool every 24 hours that's going down the river. That's a lot of water. EPA has now got all kinds of funds available for what's called reusing water, because it is our number one element for mankind. So they're giving more and more and more attention to it. But I think a lot of people here are probably not as familiar as I've been at this in a year and a half. I've got a tremendous lot of research. I've done a lot of research on, you were talking about what happens to the water. You lose about a quarter inch of water per day in the summer months, evaporation. That's a fact of life. That's all relative to the cloudiness, the winter months, and so on and so forth. The rest of the water goes down the aquifer. It takes anywhere from 6 months to a year to strain that too, depending upon the soil conditions. If it's going through sand, it'll go a lot quicker. Anyway, I want to pass these around because I didn't tell you. I don't see why we. What are the benefits, first of all, of this? I want to say the number one benefit here is are the farmers. Do you understand they're not even able to pump as near as much water underground to irrigate it, which feeds American people. So it's a big must to get them. We've got all kinds of wetland on there, and I'm going to pass another picture around. Wetlands in there that you got ducks and geese and all the other animals on the water. Are you familiar with Salvation Army? They spent $13 million on that park that they bought for Goodwill put on there. Plus, I don't know if all you know it, I'm speaking for myself. I'm not an attorney. I speak for myself because as I found this research, you, I, me, all the citizens of this community, of the state, of the United States, are part owner of that lake bed. Okay? I just gave a copy of the Nebraska Public Trust Doctrine to the attorney there, and I hope she reads it, because one of the things to stop in this until we get forward is who owns the lake bed. You know, I got a ticket way back when because I didn't have a sticker in the boat, so I knew that the state owned the water. But all these years, I didn't know who owns the lake underneath it. And I've got tons and tons and tons of research, including case laws. I got, I think, four different case laws and all the rules and regulations of what they call the Fair Footprint Doctrine. It goes back to this Louisiana Purchase and when Nebraska statehood. I've got all that data on there. And I found out back then the state owns, this is critical, from the banks to the high water mark of record. That has been established. And all of you remember all the water we had in 2020, in the fall of 2020? That main lake on the, what I'm going to call the northwest corner, it was 5,000 feet long, 600 feet wide. I'm estimating these add-on, they're just off of a map on it.
Mm-hmm.
And about 8 foot deep in front of our place. I'm going to send this around. Oh, yeah, I did send that around. This is another one, because I don't think a lot of people know the area. When you talk about the area of, goes all the way from the Crystal Cove, all around the corner, underneath Highway 77, which has got two 48-inch tubes. Now, I've walked that whole lake bed twice. I've got pictures of every tube that's already in place. There's two 48-inch tubes under Highway 77. There's a tube that comes right out, right, familiar with Rice Lake. That's right by the packing house there. That's about 1,000 foot long. We call that a settling pond. So the water that comes out of the ground through the equipment cools it off. It has a settling pond to bring the temperature back down. The water comes out of the ground roughly at 50 degrees, plus or minus a degree, and it comes out roughly 80 degrees, so you got a settling pond. And then it goes underneath the railroad track, which the tube was already there also, a 24-inch tube there. And then it runs into another sand pit. And that's where Barb Steffen is on her property. And then there's just a little about 100 yards here at the lake bed.
Do you think that's going to be an issue all on who owns the lake bed?
I don't. And the reason for it is state of Nebraska owns it. And who owns the public trust is actually regulated, any public trust is regulated by the Attorney General of Nebraska. And what we're looking for is to have our county attorney to help us to work with, because they work in conjunction with the Attorney General on it. They have to obey the law because It's a law that's been in there for 160 years, 61 right. years, something like that.
When we, so if, let's just say that we did get this done.
Yeah.
We start filling up the lake.
Yeah.
Is it gonna, and obviously we could turn the faucet off.
Yes.
But is it gonna affect somebody's property?
Okay, it's serious you said that. We have the what I call on record, the high water mark in 2020. And I think everybody around the lake knows exactly where it's at. I know I do. I got numerous pictures of it. And another is on the two 48-inch tubes that go through underneath the highway. There's rust marks where the water went through. That's well established is what the water line is. So, and it didn't flood anybody. I've talked to a lot of people on there. It didn't flood anybody. And the beautiful part about this is we can literally regulate that lake to what, if when it gets too full, we got a lot of rain, a lot of moisture, or snow melt, you can just cut down the amount of water that you're with the gate valve, hydronic gate valve, and that's where Mr. Matt come in and design that. But it's a must that we got to keep this water in our aquifer. They're taking it out of our aquifer. I believe that Tyson's got five wells pulling out of our aquifer. It's called the sandstone aquifer.
I'll give you one more minute, Walt. Wind her up.
Okay. Yes, I hope that you would take it to the next step because the whole community would benefit from it. And I just wanted you to know what you're looking at here would be a tremendous asset to the country. And I've already heard people that clear out in Sioux City and all around the community, they're all just say, why hasn't it been done? And I agree with that. Why hasn't it done, wasting that much water?
That is a lot of water.
And I thank you for your time.
You bet. Thank you, Walt.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else want to speak on that out there? All right. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and move on then. Board to offer letter of opposition to LB 1607, eliminating the inheritance tax in the state of Nebraska.
The NACO folks suggested that we do that because I think it's going to get done. They're going to do it.
You really think they're going to try to eliminate it?
Just a matter of time.
They will. I think they will. They have 25 co-signers on it or more, and they only need 25. Yeah, I think it's going to get done. You know, there's a lot of talk about property tax reduction, and which it has nothing to do with.
But
it's
tax.
Something that, right.
Yeah.
But this is the big one. From the counties, I mean, the counties are saying, the NACO folks are saying that if it's done, they're looking at 12% increase in property taxes. And that's hard to believe. You know, I don't think that we're not in that position at all. I mean, but, you know, never say never. So, anyway, they just wanted support counties to reach out and let them know that, you know, if we didn't have it, what would we do if we ever need it?
You know, I read that letter or the email from them, and it seems like, you know, the more you say that, because they're going to limit a lot of time for people to discuss it, regardless of people that are fill the room, people that have a testimony or not. I mean, it's like, I think they have their mind set.
Yeah. I think they have their mind set up because they've
already made it real clear that the chair is going to limit the time and this and that. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise
me. Well, the governor started talking about it from day one, I think.
Yeah. And I know you could get somebody up there that could go for, you know, hours. I get that.
So I think our best hope is that if they do it, they ramp it down or you know, they would – say, give us 5 years to totally eliminate.
Prepare yourself.
Right, and have time to do it. So, anyway, so I think we should send a letter from the board.
I second that.
Highly suggesting that they do not repeal the inheritance tax.
Okay.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yeah.
Marty?
Yep. All right, Commissioner Committee reports.
I don't think I have anything, Marty.
Okay.
I don't have anything this time either.
Anything since last time, Bob?
No, other than I gave the speaking of legislative, I gave the chamber had a meeting at City Hall in South Sioux today. I gave them just some things that they go down. They go to the Capitol every year to
jump on a bus,
to lobby. Yep. Yeah. So I gave them our some things that were kind of pertinent.
Bills that were
us so,
in favor of.
Other than that, no.
All right. Troy?
I had a North Star meeting last week, and all it was there's a house in Lane that they decided to sell, and they got a pretty good offer on it, and looks like it's going to be sold.
All right. And I just had the Veterans Oversight one, and I've already talked about that a couple of times, so that's all I had.
I did have a health board meeting, I think, last week.
Yeah.
How was it?
It went well. Yeah, I did have a health board meeting. Yeah, I did. I did. Now I think about it.
Yeah.
I knew I had something. Their monies are good. Everything's good. Yeah, it was a good meeting. Everything's copacetic there. Yeah.
Okay.
Nope.
Mail or emergency business?
Well, I put the little flyer there from the City of South Sioux for the joint meeting, and then I sent an email out to they want RSVPs. So if you plan on going,
I'm in.
You got to be in.
Why?
You got to speak. What else? Are you going, Bob?
No, I'm going to be gone. Otherwise, I would.
I'll let you know ahead. When do they need to know? When do they need our SVP?
If you can let me know by next Thursday. Then.
Next Thursday?
Is that what I put in my email?
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember what I did yesterday.
It's
March 4th.
So. RSVP by the
16th.
They want it by the 16th, so did I ask?
I'm going.
Troy, are you going?
Yeah.
Troy's not going.
I'll be there, though.
Troy's not going. Oh,
no,
I'm not going.
You'd rather go with me anyway. Huh? I'm working for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I hate you right now.
I think that's it, right?
Yeah. 421.
Scott.
I got you.
I just want to know how much. Sure.